Pop pops up, history made, and young players making us feel old. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sophie.
And this is G'day from GOTB. Well, so this is a case of second time lucky for us because we had a lovely chat this morning and it turns out it didn't record. Slight error. And surprisingly, the first time that's happened so far.
But I think it probably also sums up the state of our brains at the moment.
Yes, sure. That's very fair. We are in Perth, of course. We finally made it. As you know, we had a bit of a nightmare getting here with cancelled flights, but we're here. And we once again found ourselves watching football in the airport. This time, the second half of Argentina versus Italy and the first half of Germany versus Morocco before we jumped on our 5-hour flight west. Let's start off then with Italy versus Argentina. Thoughts?
I thought it was a bit scrappy game. They both struggled, I think, in parts to like hold the ball, hold control of possession. I heard that the Argentina fans bought the party, so that sounded really good. And but yeah, just pleased for Cristiana Girelli because she is an Italian legend. We all know what she can do, and she came on within 5 minutes and got Italy the winner with that beautiful looping header. So yeah, she pleased for her. Italy as well, like their celebrations said it all. I think there was a massive party going down at the final whistle, both on the bench and on the field of play, because they came to life 4 years ago. They sort of hit the scene. Everyone was very, very surprised by what they did in 2019. And then last summer, with a lot more expectation on them, they completely flopped. So the fact that they've come back, they've won against Argentina, who are not an easy team to beat, get their first 3 points and put them in a pretty good place, I think, in the group in terms of the foundations they need to build on for the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, talk about an impact sub. It was a great goal from her. Speaking of goals, Germany versus Morocco, they look frightening. 6-0.
They do. Alexandra Popp, I think, is the one to come out of that. That's the name that everyone's going to be looking at. And keeping her fit is absolutely key for Germany. She is absolutely phenomenal in the air. Like, her clinicalness with her head is just ridiculous. Many teams, I think, would want someone like her who can just leap and turn it into a goal, it seems. But, yeah, they were very good. Morocco, I think, struggled a fair bit. It is, of course, their first World Cup. And yeah, they have been, they did struggle a lot. They 2-1 goals, I think. So I think that added to the sort of heaviness of the scoreline.
For me, I think Germany has probably stood out a little bit, cause that was with key players missing as well. But you're telling me I need to keep my feet in the ground about them.
Yes. Well, I think we haven't seen them come up against a stronger opposition. But also just remember what happened before the World Cup as well. Like they lost to Zambia. So it's kind of, yes, they got the job done and they got it done in style. And that's exactly what they needed to do. And they look frightening, but maybe just wait before we say they've won the World Cup.
Another team I want to get excited about if you let me, is Brazil. They beat Panama 4-0. Ari Borges with the hat-trick. Really lovely celebrations as well after her first goal. And then she goes and scores another two.
Yeah, I think Brazil are fun, aren't they? They play with the flair. They play exactly, I don't know. Football is just fun for them. It's so skillful in the way that they move the ball around and the energy. And I think they've got a really good side under Pia, who can actually make an impact this World Cup. Didn't see so much of Marta maybe in the game, but that kind of says where she is in her career, but she can still impact. But yeah, I think they were playing Panama again. Maybe that's a slight caveat, like it was with Germany. They were expected to win, and they were expected to win comfortably, and they did that. But yeah, the manner of the goals as well was really fun to watch.
I felt like João's goal, the player who scored the fourth, that was a trademark Brazilian goal. There were two back heels involved in the build-up, and possibly the goal of the tournament so far?
I think so, yes.
All right, another team that looked like they were having fun out there was Colombia. They played Korea Republic, or South Korea, and beat them 2-0. A penalty from Uzme and a second from Linda Caicedo. Tell us a little bit about her. She's special.
She is. She is a wonder kid. She's probably one of those kind of generational talents for Colombia that you don't see very often. And it just goes, what she's done in this last year at just 18 years old is is ridiculous. She was what, runner up in the under 17 World Cup, got the silver ball and bronze boots in that tournament. Then went to the Copa America in the same summer with Colombia senior team, got the best player of the tournament and was runner up as well. And has now what made her debut in a senior World Cup and got her first goal as well. So it's quite ridiculous what she's achieved. She's also signed with Real Madrid this year. So a phenomenal young talent and one to keep an eye on.
And she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer at 15. And now here she is on the world stage, absolutely shining. A lovely goal from her. Unfortunately, it was a bit of a goalkeeper flop that led to it going in the back of the net. But the build-up play, the way she dodged around her defender was lovely to watch for a player so young.
She was playing with a smile, on a massive smile on her face. And I just love to see that. You know, that's what football's meant to be, especially when you're 18 and you're at your first major tournament. It's not meant to be that stressful. And she was just beaming all the way through. She just felt like she could express herself properly.
The Colombians looked strong, they looked physical. That was something that felt like the Koreans just couldn't match. There had been every kind of 50-50 tackle nearly seemed to go the Colombians' way. You know, it felt like Korea were lacking.
Yeah, it did. I'm not actually very surprised by how bad they looked, because they were pretty terrible at the Arnold Clark Cup in February, to be honest, and it doesn't look like they progressed much. We all know that they have quality. They have Ji So-yeon, they have Lee Young-min in their ranks. You know, she plays for Brighton. We know what G's done at Chelsea for all of those years. Very, very skillful technical players. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me. But I was very pleased to see, or impressed by, Colin Bell using his platform in the post-match press conference to sort of call for more for the women's game in general and his team, because that's the only way they're going to progress it.
That kind of wrapped up the first round of games. For you, what team has stood out?
That's a hard one, because it feels like it's been a year of football. So trying to remember what's happened. But I think you'd probably have to say Germany and Brazil, just in the manner in which they won. Japan as well. I think the way that they dispatched Zambia, they've got a very young team. People think they're still sort of rebuilding, but they've got lots of exciting young talent. I've always thought maybe this tournament is just a little too soon for them to get very, very far in it. But they've certainly got the players coming through that could make them, you know, really good in the next few years. And then you would have to look at some of the underdogs as well. You know, the performances of Ireland and Haiti, they've been absolutely brilliant. They haven't won, but they've played well and they've shown what they can do on the world stage.
Well, you've done your trademark spoiler alert, because I was about to ask you what team has surprised you, and I think you've kind of said it there.
It could be a different one.
Okay, go on then.
But it's not. It's Haiti, I think. I think when you're European and you only get to see them very, you know, it's not often broadcast at the Haiti games. So to be able to see them live and see exactly how fast and good they were and how tenacious they were, that was probably the surprise so far.
And what player for you has shone so far?
So I'm going to go with Melchie Dumonet. It was I count it as a privilege to be able to watch her live in that stadium against England and see what she can do at such a young age. I'd go with her.
Great. I agree with most of that. I think Alex Pop has also shone so far. And of course, Sophia Smith, seeing her do what she did as well in the first round on her debut World Cup. So plenty of players to look out for in the next round. So moving into that second round, we started with New Zealand versus Philippines, with what is probably the shock of the tournament so far.
Yeah, before that it was Jamaica, and now it's the Philippines. You know, the absolute joy on their faces when the final whistle blew, it showed how much it meant. They are not going to get far in the tournament. We know that, and that's no disrespect to them, but it's just where they're at on the world stage at the moment. But for them to get a goal and then to win the game is absolutely key for them to build foundations, and what that will do back home as well in the Philippines. They're making history as we speak, and they've done that. So it's about changing. It's a legacy thing, and it's changing the mindset of a nation. about football, and that's what they're doing over here.
It was my co-host Chloe Morgan, I think, who summed it up. She said they out-underdogged the underdog because, of course, New Zealand had been the underdog against Norway and they beat them. And then Philippines came in the underdog and they beat New Zealand. So, you know, obviously disappointing for New Zealand. They had a goal ruled offside by what looked like an ear.
Yeah, it was very, very tight. I think we thought it was on at first glance, but obviously the lines went down and the ear came up. So it's harsh. It's like Ellen White's toe, isn't it? It's very, very, very close. But I think New Zealand are going to New Zealand as well. They shocked everyone with that opening day win against Norway. And then they go back to being New Zealand and lose to someone that they should beat. So maybe not very surprising as well as it being surprising, if that makes sense.
It does. And we have to give a shout out as well to McDaniel, their goalkeeper, who got player of the match. Well done, FIFA, for not giving it to the goal scorer. She had a brilliant game, made a great save near the end of the match, probably save of the tournament so far. And another kind of dagger to the heart for those of us in our 30s, Casey Fair came on, youngest player to make the World Cup at 16 years and 26 days old.
Just makes you feel sick, doesn't it?
It does. And she made a very brave tackle in the box where she went in for a header, went through the player. And when we first watched it, we both kind of went, oh God, could this be the worst kind of start for her, giving away a penalty? But no, on the replay, she got her head there first and took the player second. So some bravery there from Casey Fair. Moving on now, Norway versus Switzerland. Bit of a flat game, ended 0-0. Chances for both sides, like, you know, both sides had a run forward and the commentators and the crowd got really excited, but nothing really came of it. And I feel like it was the off-field drama that ended up taking the headlines. So we'd known from pre-match, I think at the press conference, that Caroline Graham Hansen and Ingrid Engen would not be starting, which was a real surprise. And then Ada Hegerberg, she'd lined up with the team, she'd warmed up, she'd sang the anthem, she'd done the little sprints after the anthem and then gotten in the huddle and then suddenly turned and walked down the tunnel. And it transpired that she had felt a tweak in her groin during those final sprints. But very unusual how that all happened. The players didn't seem to know what's going on. Afterwards, Hegerisa claimed that she hadn't heard from any of the medical staff or her about what had happened and had nothing to say on the issue, which is very strange because you think she would maybe ask why Ada Hegerberg wasn't playing, but apparently she didn't. And then post-match, Caroline Graham Hansen, who came off the bench, expressed some real frustration to the media.
I think it's evident that all is not well in the Norway camp. And it's one of the greatest... Is travesty too hard a word?
No.
Is that when you look at the... Yes, we all know their issues with their backline, but when you look at the midfield and forward players, they're not fighting for places. They've all like fit perfectly. So you have one of the best, well, the two best wingers in the world, you would say, maybe, in Guru Wrighton and Caroline Graham Hansen at the moment. You've got Ada Hegerberg in the number nine position and Frida Mornum in and behind. Ingrid Engen isn't bad herself. You know, there's some really, really good quality and they just don't perform on the world stage. And I think Hegerisa will get a lot of flack, probably quite rightly in some respects. But I think that's maybe just looking too closely at the now. This has obviously been going on for a while. It happened last summer. It's happened again this summer. And it speaks to something maybe quite deep going on within Norway football at the moment that isn't quite right. It's maybe so while the coach will get a lot of flack for it, quite rightly, they're not winning games. But I'm not sure it's entirely all of her doing either.
Yeah, and it's such a shame that it's another team that has to worry about things that maybe they shouldn't have to worry about. I'm sure we'll find out more as the tournament goes on or as the tournament ends, but Norway currently sitting bottom of Group A, which many maybe would not have expected.
I think it also goes to show that you can have 11 of the best players in the world and they might not work together. And it's an interesting way because when we think about team selection for these tournaments, there's always a talk about who's in form and who's, you know, who's in the best form and who should go. And actually, it's much more than that. You need a dynamic to a team. And at the moment, it doesn't seem that there's much dynamic to the Norway team, despite them having some of the best players in the world.
Amen. So up next, obviously, I'm going to talk about Ireland and Canada first. It is the last game of the day, but it's the game we're covering. It's the game I'm excited and equally nervous about. We had press conferences yesterday. bloody hell, all the Canadians could ask Bev was about the physicalness of the Irish team, which is kind of getting a bit tedious now, because physicality is something I definitely attribute to the Canadian team as well. But I'd like to think there's a little bit more to the Irish team than just their physicality.
There is. I think I've said it to you before. I think it's a bit lazy because we all know that the Irish are tenacious and they will throw literally anything in front of the ball to stop it going in the net. We know they have that passion and that pride, like so many other teams do. But I think just to purely focus on that as a line of questioning is a little bit misunderstanding how Ireland actually play football. And as you say, Canada are physical themselves, so are the teams in the tournament. People don't shy away from tackles and they're tenacious and energetic. And why is it a bad thing to be physical? As long as it's on the right side of the law, right? It's actually quite a good thing. You want to be strong enough to fight. And I think the one that's been picked up, the quote that's been picked up from Bev's press conference was that Ireland are a horrible team to play against. But it's taken a bit out of context because then she went on to say, so are we. So a horrible team isn't a bad thing. It's actually quite a good thing as a compliment, I think. It means you're hard to break down, you're hard to find space against, you get stuck into tackles, you can't play your game, maybe attacking game like you would normally. So I think it was a sort of a compliment by Bev, but it's been sort of taken out of context.
Yeah, and it is true that she's right. It's the same with Canada. You know, they don't concede many goals because they are bodies on the line, hard to break down, similar attributes you'd give to Ireland. And I quite enjoyed, I think it was one of the Irish media who then pipped up asking a question off the back of these physicality questions, but within the question, reminding them that Katie McCabe had only picked up one foul in that Australia game because I think she had been singled out. But anyway, beyond that, I think it's going to be a very good game. Obviously, Canada being Olympic champions, it's not going to be easy for Ireland. But the main thing is they know that because of the draw, there's still all to play for in this group. And that's the main thing. But first up, we have Japan versus Costa Rica and then Spain versus Zambia. Both Japan and Spain had comfortable first round wins and they've now switched opponents effectively. And I think they will probably both win.
I mean, they should do. They're the favourites in both. I was thinking that Zambia would be the ones to get at Spain because of their ability on the transition and their counter-attacking football. But the way that Japan got rid of them in that first game, and also we know everything that's going on behind the scenes with them, I'm not so sure anymore that that call was correct.
Well, we shall see how that goes. We are off to Sydney tomorrow. Here's hoping for a really positive next episode. Come on, you girls in green.